los numbers attempting unido, Chicanos, Latinos, and los Estados Unidos. Don't care if you're Ricans or even Cubanos. Look at our coaches. We have more common, don't let them divide. These suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time. Don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb. Fight for your bias, man. Where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country. They tried to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away. They promised you money and got you raging for the machine. Pick a new team. You bless your Elizabeth, but that is a system that you wanna bring. You need to think. We gotta fight communism, cause it look like we on the brink. Connect all the links. A one party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to sink. Whom are you listening? These people are evil and won't treat us equal. So what is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together, cause this time we're never to do what you can. Please understand, we gotta do better, so walk us, remember that we took a stand. Escúchame. 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad. Órale, vamos.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Latino Free Minds, episode number 72, and this is the return of the Fighter Series, and we have, once again, Melinda Ann from Luca. Melinda, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm great, amigo. Hello to all of you. Thanks for having me. I think it's been a while. I'm always so excited to come and chat with you guys. Oh, yeah, and let me say, Daniel, real quick, welcome to Luca, California, amigo. So we are so happy to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be a part of it. It's already been a good experience. Good. I love that energy that you all have. And there's a lot of good things happening. I tell everybody on the podcast is that there's a lot of positive things happening. And one of the reasons that I got excited and I wanted to be part of Luca is for that exact same reason, because I want to be part of that, you know, positivity that's happening all across the nation. And, you know, we can do something here in California. So, you know, why not?
And there's a lot happening in California. I mean, we'll get into that. But man, our team out there is on fire.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you back on. I think officially you might be like the most appearances now. I think.
Have I? I've been the most appearances on your show. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm honored. It's either you or Peter Hernandez, but you know, I think you're in the lead right now with this one.
Yay! That's awesome. Well, you know, ever since the very beginning, I've always told you guys that I love being a part of all of this. We need to unite. We need to consistently keep the conversations going. You know, we have got so much work to do. We've got so much happening and going on. So anytime I can come on and speak with anybody, you guys know I will be there. And I will be ready to have a great conversation about everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. So just to kind of get it started, you were helping Antonio with his mayoral race and all that. So now you're kind of, you know, moving on from that. What's going to be your focus as far as Luca going forward?
Well, right now we are during that mayoral race, you know, all of our state executive directors were just on point. They were working so hard and building teams. Like I said, California now, we were just in like the Chino Valley area. Now we have a team in Northern California, Central California, Southern California. We just added somebody in Orange County, California. Here in Texas, we've got teams, I mean, all on the West. I'm getting ready to have a conversation with somebody on the kind of more to the Southwest, but in the South, North. You guys are, I mean, we're in Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Arizona, all of our teams. And I am now building, we're national, but Arkansas, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. The other thing that we are now moving forward with is I had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with the RNHA chairwoman, Elisa Slider, and they've got big things happening over there too. And we are going to be collaborating with them. So, you know, their chair people are going to be meeting with my state executive directors, because there is so much work that needs to be done. So our two organizations together, We'll be able to cover a lot of ground. We'll be able to do a lot to grow, get the message out, things like that. So really excited about all of that that's coming forward.
No, that's great. I was telling the guys that, you know, Luca, as far as you know, the meaning behind it, I was obviously in the website and I was going to look at it, and the significance of the name Luca is pretty special and actually really special. It's not just an acronym, but it's actually, it means a bringer of light. So, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, local politics, and I know that Art and Nicole, you know, their biggest purpose is, you know, the kids, protecting the kids born and unborn. And it's so fitting, you know, it's like, you know, Luca, bringer of light, people bringing that message. So is that what the goal is? Is it now transitioning from politics to that, or, you know, what is the main focus?
Well, Luca's main focus is that it's everything. Everything that we need to do as we the people to ensure that our communities are thriving, that we're safe. I mean, it is all of the above. So, yes, we need to fight for our kids because we know that they are after this next generation. We see that through what they're trying to manipulate in the schools. We've seen how they've been indoctrinating for a while now, and how they're coming after the, you know, for the unborn. So it is so important that we fight for this next generation. We're also, you know, we are in the politics. I mean, it's everything. What we need to do to stand up to the tyrannical government that is absolutely out of control right now. They've been out of control for a very long time. And so I was just speaking to somebody today who's coming on in New Mexico, and she's running for, you know, state Senate. Because everybody knows I'm from New Mexico. So I'm so excited to build that chapter. I've got more conversations there. Just like you guys in California, it is a communist state. It is so bad. And so there's a multitude of things that need to happen. We need to fight the voter fraud because we know that the voter fraud is running rampant. We know that that is what took President Trump out of the White House. More and more stories. I mean, just in Arizona, a former mayor was arrested for ballot harvesting. Oh, she was caught on camera, like pushing voter fraud, signing the ballots, doing all of that stuff. So we've got, I mean, if you guys, if we do not fix the voter fraud, then what kind of free country are we? Seriously, if we are not choosing our, you know, the people that run this country, and they're just putting themselves in there and pushing their agenda, because what we are watching in New Mexico, the governor is just pushing special sessions to sign things in law that are going to violate the citizen's Second Amendment. We can't have that. And the Secretary of State is also, you know, with the Democrat legislation, which is what you guys have there, which is what a lot of, you know, these blue states have, they're just passing laws to make election by ballot only without the voice of the people. So we have to do everything. We have to make sure that we are protected, and we have to fight for our First Amendment rights. I'm sure all of you guys that have been keeping up with Luca, we are in a big fight right now with Fort Worth, Texas, the city of Fort Worth, Texas, because they shut down our event and they shut down our First Amendment rights. Now, they're kind of in their own little battle over there because the city knows that that was a big no-no. And they're trying to rectify it. They're trying to fix it, but it's a little too late. I mean, they doxed our events director when he showed up to her home early in the morning because they released her physical address. You guys, we cannot. So we have to fight that. You know, so we're showing up to the, you know, we're paying close attention to the bills that are coming down the pipeline for our states. And we know that that needs to happen in California too, because especially, I mean, your governor there is just as rogue. Like we were laughing earlier in the back room. There really isn't a governor of California. I mean, you know, so these dictator type people are just running the states and they're just doing whatever they want. So Luca has to, you know, protect our communities at every level. Daniel, I, you know, now that you're a part of Luca in California, you guys see that we're canvassing, we block walk for our endorsed candidates. Arizona is doing the same thing. You know, all of our endorsed candidates we're having events with. We're bringing Luca events to invite the community so that they can learn more about the work, right? Because most of us and still a lot of people don't know, well, what does it mean for the people to be in control of their government? Mm-hmm. We have to really think about that. What does that mean? What does that work look like? How are you, because our government is so big, they are so powerful, but we are more, I mean, there are more of us than there are of them, but because we're not holding them accountable, we are not doing the work to ensure that our government is working for the people, by the people, then that's how they get away with all the tyranny that, mm-hmm. that they're doing. So we've had to really educate our communities on what the value of we the people doing the work to ensure that our government is in check. And to ensure that we're getting the right leaders in office that understand that they're civil servants and that they are there to serve the people. Because we've had these people in Congress, 100 years? You know, some of them, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, all of them, they've been there way too long. Some of them have died in their 90s and started in their 20s, right? And so, you know, now we can see with the power that they have in the White House and in the Senate, we can't do anything. Our Republican majority House, they're trying really hard, but they can't move past Senate. So what good is it? Our hands are tied. So it is a multitude of all of that. We have to make sure that we are out there and we're bold and we are fighting and we are loud. And we're ensuring that they understand that it is we the people and that they are civil servants and that they are supposed to work for us and that we're now going to be here to keep them in check. Now, there's still so much work to do, guys, so much work. And it's a matter of really just paying attention to what's coming down the pipeline, because we've been doing this now, what, since 2015 when Trump came down that escalator and mm-hmm. said, you know, I'm running for president. That's when all the chaos started, right? Yeah. And the Democrats have really just put so much in motion. I mean, we got the BLM, we got Antifa, we got COVID. So they're really good at this game. They're really good at the corruption. And sadly, we didn't have a very strong Republican Party. And so there was no pushback. There was no fight that, you know, we're giving back to the Democrats. And so, you know, that's what we're here for now. And I'm thankful that Laura Trump is now running the national RNC, because you guys, it was infiltrated in many ways.
Yeah, and nothing but rhinos running it. So basically it was a Democratic Party. It's...
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they, and, you know, so many of them, I'm glad the Shaney, you know, Shaney's gone, and we have to just pay attention. And I think some of them are being really slick and trying to get in there and weasel their way through. So as Luca, we have to make sure that the candidates that we're endorsing, that we know that they aren't rhinos, that we, you know, they have a 4-page, as a matter of fact, I spent a lot of time today because Arizona is getting ready to go to, you know, to their primaries in June. And so is New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So doing the endorsements, but they have 4 pages and a lot of questions. It's tedious work that they have to fill out before we even consider endorsing them. And then, like I said, our people, our teams, they gather and then they go and canvas and block walk. That's community work. That's what we, the people, are supposed to do. Get behind those candidates, go door to door and advocate for these people that we know are like us and that they want to get in there and clean up the corruption.
Yeah.
And could you touch a little bit more on any of the specifics about the any of the Luca endorsed candidates?
Yeah, there's so many in every state. So, I mean, we, you know, our state executive directors, when they're out at events, or, you know, they're the ones that pay attention to the candidates that are running. And then, you know, like our Arizona team, they go to, you know, they go to them, interview them, and then we email them the questionnaire that they have to fill out. Now, those calls at the very end do come from myself and our founder, Tony Rentería, especially on a congressional level, because that's his expertise. I mean, he's spent his life work helping these congressional candidates get into office, the right ones. So at the end of the day, you know, we do make those last calls, but we do work closely. Like if it's a state race or anything like that, like school board, or if it's California, you know, House representatives, or if there are state senates for California running, we work very closely. I mean, and we still know a lot of them, but that's how we, you know, and then, like I said, the questionnaires are very tedious. It takes me a while to go through them. We ask them a multitude of questions, you know, how they answer. We really pay attention. So if there's an incumbent, we really go to look at the voting record of the incumbent to see if we're making the right choice, or if the incumbent is doing a good job, to see how they voted, see what their policies were. So it's a lot of work making sure that we are endorsing the right candidates and that we're getting behind them properly. And then once they get the endorsement, I know you guys out there in California, and we're doing it here. Again, we go in canvas, we walk the streets, we block walk, we get their information, and we go into the community and say, look, we, you know, as Luca, we've endorsed this candidate. Just know that they had to go through a very tedious endorsement process, but here's what they stand for. And this is why Luca stands behind them. And so, you know, as a community, these are the type of leaders that we need to get in office to ensure that we turn around all the corruption.
No, and that's important to know, because, you know, their politicians are very strategic. You know, they switch positions. I've seen some reels and memes where, you know, 2 years ago, they had a completely different position. And now, because they're trying to garner, you know, some votes in a different demographic, now they hold a different position. So that vetting that you're talking about is obviously really important, so that we don't get the wool pulled over our eyes again.
Absolutely. And that's why we look at the incumbent. We look at, you know, is this somebody that's a first time, you know, like somebody like us that decides that, you know, it's, we need to run. And that's what, you know, our founder and CEO did. Here in Lubbock, Texas, we had a very Democrat socialist candidate that was running for mayor. And, you know, he was getting a lot of phone calls that we need you to run. We need you to throw your name in the hat, because we're afraid, we know it's going to go into a runoff, but we're afraid that if we do not get somebody like you in there to kind of pull more of the votes, then he's going to get into the runoff, and we're terrified that he'll get to be near. And his policies was, I mean, he was a very scary candidate. Because we are in a red wall in the West Texas. This is the Bible Belt. And somebody like him, we would have, I mean, Lubbock, Texas is already riddled very high in crime for, you know, we rank four in the state of Texas, number four. Wow. And that's a scary thought, where we have Texas Tech, we're a college hub city, you know, so that's what Luca does as well. Sometimes we just have to throw our name in the hat, right? And get in the race. And we have to do whatever it takes. So guys, we have to be strategic. We have to be ahead of them. We have to coordinate. We need everybody involved, absolutely everybody involved, as we the people. And the only, and you know, here's an example in my home state of New Mexico. There was a school in Albuquerque that during prom, they let like this transgender stripper do a show there, and parents showed up in droves. Okay. And they ended up removing that, you know, that person from the school. So the power is in the people. So the great thing about Luca is that we have been successful. We have been effective. So the work shows, you know, that it, when we get in there and we fight and we're bold and we do what we're supposed to do, we're very effective in our communities.
Yeah.
But again, we all had to learn, what does that look like? We, you know, my generation, the younger generation, I mean, you know, I say all the time, my parents didn't show up to school boards. They didn't go to, you know, commissioners meetings and special sessions to fight back on bills. They didn't do anything. Therefore, we weren't taught that work either. So that's how this government was able to get away with so much. This is, I mean, they passed bills and laws under our noses. And with the guys that, oh, we're here for you. You know, the Democrats, we take care of, you know, we're for the poor. We're here to help those, you know, that need the government. And we just didn't know better, you guys. We just didn't know. But now we're awake. Now we know. Now we understand that when we get in the fight and we stand up to these people and these entities, you know, they actually stand down, and it makes a huge difference. So, but yes, here in Texas, man, we are in a fight over here. So the city of Fort Worth, when, you know, now with our First Amendment, they messed with the wrong organization because Luca is not the one. And, you know, so the city is emailing us, they're trying to make it right, but it's already too late, you guys. They shut down our transgender event where Abel Garcia, because Texas passed SB 14. A lot of people don't know much about this story. There was a dad that was taking his wife to court because she was trying to transition her son into a girl. Mm. And he had to, isn't that crazy that a dad had to spend tens and thousands of dollars to go to court to fight his wife to ensure that his son doesn't get mutilated and doesn't become a girl. So Abel Garcia, he is a transgender. He went through the transition and now he's detransitioning. And he actually helped with the SB 14 to pass here in Texas. So, you know, so that type of mutilation is banned and they can't do it here anymore. They can't take it. So, but Luca, we caught wind that there was a church, Galileo Church, and I'll call them out every time, that was giving grant money to families that wanted to transition their children so that they could take them to other states that do allow it and have it done. So we went and protested, we did an email campaign, and because of the relationship that our founder and CEO has with our representative, Dustin Burroughs, with our congressman, Jody Arrington. I mean, he's, you know, like he says, I've got a seat at the table, at every table, locally, stateside, all the way up when Trump was in the White House. So like he said, why have a seat at the table if I can't pull a chair up and bring my people with me so that we can fight this? So now, because of what, you know, we exposed and what happened with Galileo Church, our representative is bringing a special bill to the floor in session to shut down those loopholes and punish the entities that are violating SB 14 and make sure that they are no longer allowed to give the grant money to families to take Texas children out of state to get mutilated. And that's huge.
That's huge because, like you said, it's showing people what it means to hold these people accountable. They're supposed to be representing us. And one of the things that you just mentioned earlier, and one of the things that I'm pretty excited about now, it's weird because when I say this, a lot of people aren't going to relate, but I hope with time, as we learn what it looks like to, you know, stand up, it's going to be exciting to other people. So I'm actually really looking forward to the first school board meeting that I attend, city council meeting that I attend. So, you know, we kind of joke around, but not really joke around in the podcast here, is like, you know, making voting cool, being a part of, you know, those meetings cool. So hopefully to, you know, what you're speaking about, we can show other people what that looks like, standing up and actually making a difference and hitting the ground. So I don't know. Again, I'm really excited, so I can't wait until I attend those. And I hope people really start looking into that and wanting to be able to be a part of an organization like Luca and start attending those type of meetings. Because if we don't do it right now, I was talking to Jim Shoemaker here in California, here in Stockton, at one of the meet and greets. And if we don't do this right now, people, who is going to do it? If we're not setting the example for our kids, are our kids going to pick up, you know, whatever they're being taught and told in schools, in media, or are they going to follow our lead?
Right. And it is, it's up to us. And so coming down the road as well, Luca is also a foundation. So we are going to have, you know, have grant money so that we can help the children. We're also working and we're, you know, hoping to get this done as quickly as we can, but to have our own charter school that is just faith and constitutional based, because we know that our schools are broken. So Luca is also working on that as well. So there, like I said, we're a multifaceted type of organization that is really moving in a direction of what we need to do to save this country, to protect our children, this next generation, to teach them the right way, filter out all of the corruption and, you know, the ideologies through education. And so to be a constitutional and faith-based type charter school, you know, we're very excited about that. And that's coming in, that's coming soon as well. And, you know, so think about all how effective all of that can be. And, you know, then essentially, you know, we're gonna have brick and mortar, but then hopefully, you know, then have it on online so that other children and other people can join, you know, such a constitutional and faith-based type institution. From Luca. And, you know, because I know growing up, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. Mm-hmm. We, you know, said a prayer every morning. My grandkids aren't doing that. I ask them and they aren't doing that. I mean, this was every morning. As soon as the tardy bell rang and we went into class, the first thing we did was pray and said our Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. And that's my generation, and that's gone. And so now you can see, but just as long, I mean, it took decades and it took planning and it took time. So for us, you know, is it going to take just as long? It might not. And that's why we need every person. That's why we, the people, need to come together. We need to stand together. We need to show up together. And Daniel, you'll see, and I'm so excited that you're going to your first school board meeting, you know, make flyers. And that's what I'm here for, to help you guys. And of course you've got Art, you've got Nicole, you guys have a great, fabulous team over there. Make Luca flyers and, you know, share it everywhere, you know, pass them out. That's what Nicole did whenever they were fighting, you know, to turn their school in Chino Valley red. They went to the Home Depots, they went to Costco's, they went to the parks, they showed up, they handed parents flyers and saying, this is happening in our schools. And this is what will happen if it passes. This is what's gonna happen to our children. Do you realize this is even going on? And many people didn't even know that that was happening. So they invite you, you come stand with us. There's a process. You know, come stand with us, come fight with us. And that's how we are going to make a difference. You know, we have to get out there and do the work.
There's what I want everybody to think about too, is that there's a movement going on right now. So there's a transition period going on right now. And again, we kind of joke around, but not joke around, is that there's a lot of red pills being dropped right now. Yeah. You've got the administration that we're calling the Red Pill Administration. Mm-hmm. We had COVID. You know, the red pill pandemic. So there's a lot of things that are happening. A lot of people are having conversations that weren't having those conversations before. Yeah. And now they're open to having those conversations. So to the point that you were making right now, if we do stand up and we start, you know, handing out those flyers, start becoming part of something great like that, you know, we can, you know, hand out some red pills, you know,
That's right.
And, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, we're talking about Latinos, Latino Free Minds, LUCA, Latinos United for Conservative Action, is that, you know, we can talk about the Latino vote, you know, the way that it's swaying from, you know, mm-hmm. Biden administration over to the Trump administration. There's a lot of polls showing that there's a huge swing going on right now. So,
very huge.
Do you want to touch on what you're seeing out there in regards to that swing? Are you seeing a lot more activity because of that? Or, you know, what are you experiencing with that right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, I was having a conversation the other day, and I think many of, you know, the Americans sadly needed to learn this lesson. They needed to go through to live in the Trump era and to, you know, kitchen table issues and policies are starting to come to the forefront. And, you know, living, they can see the contrast between living under a Trump administration versus a Biden administration. I still get people that want to push back, and I argue, especially on my TikTok. I've got a lot of, you know, people there, but I've been debating them, you know, for days now. Some of my videos have gone really viral out there, and I've been debating them for a while. But you know, you see more of the in the Latino community saying, "Oh no, we're sick and tired." I mean, they needed to feel the pain. They needed to feel the difference. They needed to see that we literally went from $2.39 of gas to $7. And some people are still trying to blame Trump for that. It's like, Trump's been gone for 4 years. You can't. And you have, you know, again, it's the education, you guys, because when I told them that within 2 weeks, Biden undid 42 through executive orders, 42. Yeah. I mean, when it came to the border issues, when it came to, you know, economically, everything that Trump put in place that helped this country thrive, they undid. And it happened like that, that we felt the pain. And it's only gotten progressively worse. Like, you're hearing people say that many Americans, that they have to make a decision between buying groceries, putting gas, you know, or paying the light bill. And that is because, you know, when you have a president that is working for the people and puts policies in place that benefits the people and not benefits the government, you can feel it. And so, yeah, many of them, you know, this was a rude awakening that needed to happen. This was something that, you know, again, like it's like being a parent, you know, sometimes that kid needs to feel that pain of that chancla, you know, to understand, I better shape up. You know, this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. And I think many Americans, literally, I'm watching and I see, you know, many people out there talking that they're sick of it. They're sick of Biden. They're sick of his policies. They're sick of watching this country deteriorate. They're sick of watching the $100 billion go to Ukraine. And I shared it. I don't know if you guys saw it, but CBS did a story that Ukraine has built a ton of nightclubs and restaurants. What war?
Yeah. Well, what's his name was out there playing his guitar?
Who?
Oh, my goodness. The Secretary of State, I want to say. He was in a bar in Kyiv with his band. It's like, all right, man.
So, I mean, what really, what's happening in Ukraine? Seriously.
They're having a party.
they're partying on our $100 billion. While, you know, you know, and then I shared a video of somebody taking a drive down Pennsylvania, taking a drive there in Oakland, California, where there's just tents all up beside the streets. Mm-hmm. People, you know, are just so homeless. I mean, we are turning into a third world country. And, you know, thanks to our economy failing and thanks to a wide open border, we are, you can look at many of our communities and they're starting to look like third world countries. Because when you let people, especially 7 million people unvetted, come into our country, well, they're not assimilated. They're not going through the process. They're not respecting the Constitution. They're not understanding what it means to be an American. They're coming here and just living life, right? Mm-hmm. The only way they know how. and they don't understand, you know. And so we're starting to watch our communities turn into third world countries. And that's how we're going to lose this nation. So we have to fight. We have to fight so hard right now. And we need everybody involved. You know, people can't sit on their couches anymore and just complain from behind their phones or their computers. You know, when Luca is putting on an event, we need you to share that with everybody. Talk to everybody. Ever since 2015, I mean, you guys have, you know, all my, the people, the followers, my fellow Americans, I have not shut up, you know, and we're just trying to grow this so that our voices are louder. Our voices are larger and they're heard. The message needs to be heard. And yeah. So that's why the local community work is so important. And that's why it is so important for Luca to continue to just get stronger and to grow and to have more and more people, you know, come on board and say, yeah, we're tired. We've had enough. And we, the people, are back. And, you know, but we're, again, we have to educate and we have to show people what this work looks like, why it's so valuable to show up and get on that mic at special, you know, commissioners meetings, the special sessions that they set up, the school board meetings, everything. You know, like here in Texas, our group showed up to a, especially, at, you know, our precinct chairs and whatnot, they showed up to a meeting because there was an organization called Girls Inc. And they were looking to get money in the amount of $640,000 of Texas taxpayer money. And guess what their organization was about? It was about teaching the young girls on what it means to be bisexual, what it means to be gay, how to use pronouns, what if they want to transition. So do you see how they come in and infiltrate? So what happened? Luca showed up with a ton of people. We gathered the community. We went in there. We were loud. And we said, absolutely not. We don't want our tax paying money to go to these types of organizations, you know, and whatnot. So, and they shut it down. They were not allotted that grant money.
That's awesome. Because one of the things that I always like to point out is that the opposition, they like to win by inches. It's small margins, but at the end of it, they end up, you know, winning enough to where they're taking over and to where at the point that we're at right now. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people is that sometimes we feel like we're in an echo chamber and we're just kind of making ourselves, you know, feel good about what's really happening right now. But we can't get discouraged when things aren't happening the way that we want them or at the speed or the rate that we would want them to happen. Because even if someone, like you said earlier, if they run for a local race and they don't get it, the important thing happened is that they went out there, they garnered attention, they opened some eyes, they handed some red pills, and you know, next time around, you know, the wave is going to be bigger, the attention is going to be bigger, and it's winning by inches. So anytime anybody gets a thought, you know, of pessimism, you know, that things aren't happening the way they feel or want them to happen, put that to the side. And start going, okay, we're going to win this inch right now, and we're going to continue, but it's momentum moving forward. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we see on TV and the news cycles is they want to demoralize us. And if those thoughts start creeping into our mind, they've won. That's it. That's exactly what they wanted. Yeah. So, you know, we talk about unity. You've been talking about it. And the only way that we're going to get to the place that we want to be, and, you know, you talked about maybe generations. I don't know how long it would take. In our mind, we would like to happen, you know, within one generation, you know. And I think it's possible if we do the work.
Absolutely.
But just take it as winning inch by inch and moving forward, progression forward. So, you know, that's just something that I always want to go out there and throw out there, because the pessimism does start to creep in.
It does. You're right. And this is why, and I have to tell you, amigo, but for me, sometimes I'm up, you know, this work for me, I feel a great urgency. And this is why, you know, I want to work so hard to grow Luca, because imagine what we can do if we're in every state and we're strong. Like, I think California is almost close to 20 members deep. Imagine if our groups in every state were 100 people running and everybody showed up and we were out there, we could probably get it done a lot faster. Right. So for me, you're right. And I think I just feel such an urgency because we've watched the Democrats destroy what Trump did. I mean, destroy it within the first year, look at how fast our country had fallen from where it was. Mm-hmm. It took Venezuela, one of the strongest, most richest, most thriving, you know, country, you know, places. I mean, they were rich only 10 years to be where they are today.
Yeah.
That's Trump's term and Biden's term. Let's really think about that. Let's put that into perspective. That country just fell to its knees. And just 10 years. That's how fast. So for me, you know, and I know many of us, I feel the urgency because, you know, I see the work with just a few of you guys out there, what we're doing in Texas. And I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine if there were hundreds of us, thousands of us, what we could really possibly do? So yeah, and Tony as well, we feel that urgency. We talk about it all the time, you know, and I've had my moments, especially when things have gotten really bad, because a lot of people, you know, they reach out, especially my people in New Mexico, you know, they reach out in desperation. They reach out for advice, you know, and what I tell them is like, look, the best thing I can tell you is I'm here, but join me. Come mm-hmm. stand with me. Come fight with us. Grow. Let's get the people out there. And again, I think for Albuquerque, what happened, that situation with the school, it empowered them so much of how quickly they were able to remove somebody that was doing, you know, something so horrible in their children's school. And I hope that excited them to a point where they just keep going and they just keep showing up and they fight and they do everything that they need to do in their communities, because that's where it starts. That's where all of the magic is gonna happen. That's where the fight is. It is in every local community. So Daniel, because you're in Central California, right?
Yeah. Yes,
Stockton, yeah, you're in Central. So you build a team out there, brother, and imagine, you know, what you guys will be able to do, showing up to these school sessions, showing up to commissioners, you know, going, you know, and we're here. We're going to provide you with what you need. You need brochures, you need flyers. You know, you guys, did you get your t-shirts yet? Did you guys get your hats?
Sent them. Not yet.
Hold on. I got to fix my hat.
Daniel got his, yeah.
Oh, Daniel. Luca, there you are. You know, and so, you know, we provide all that for you. And so it's just a matter of saying, hey, I'm Daniel and I'm with Luca, you know, and this is why I'm here, and bring the people. And that's how they're going to that's how we're going to multiply. They're going to be like, oh my God, you know, this is all that I have to do. This is what we have to do in the pushback. But because our teams have been so very effective, that's motivation. That's inspiring. And that's why we show it. And that's why we love coming and talking to, you know, to you guys. And I get on as many podcasts because, you know, like, and there's Nicole, you know, we love you guys and all of our state executive directors and all of our people. You guys are the ones that are out there. You're Luca. We're all Luca. And representing and fighting on the front lines, you know, and we're doing that here. I mean, little did I know moving to Texas that we'd have to get in the fight and run for mayor to push back on a socialist candidate that wanted to be mayor in such a red place, you know, in Texas. And that's what it takes. And she, like Nicole said, it's hard work. It is not easy. Yeah. And she's right. But look at what Trump's going through. You don't think it's hard for him? Mm-hmm. But he focuses, he does it every day. And look at how fast he was able to turn our country around. Imagine where we would be today if they didn't cheat and get Biden in there. I call Biden a squatter. He is a squatter in our White House, because now that more and more of the voter fraud, remember we were conspiracy theorists, we were liars, we were all of this, you know, now it's all coming to fruition. When I tell, when people say, I want to lie, I say, did you know in Pennsylvania, I'll just share this now, I did my research. In Pennsylvania, a former congressman was arrested with federal charges for voter fraud, ballot harvesting. In Arizona, three people have been arrested. And mind you, these people plead guilty. Okay? They plead guilty. Texas county commissioners, three of them, pleaded guilty to voter fraud. There was just a mayor, a former mayor in Arizona last week or 2 weeks ago, pleaded guilty, as arrested and doing jail time for voter fraud. So, yes, it exists. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's a conspiracy fact. We say that all the time. So remember, when all of these court hearings were going down and they were making fun of Trump, that there was nothing going on there. And they were making all of the headlines. Now, as the truth is coming out, we always talk about it too, is that with time, the truth comes out. Mm-hmm. And now that the truth is coming out, we hear zero. We don't hear anything from mainstream media or anything like that. So that's why I always like to bring up the point that all we hear about is the negative news. But as time goes by and this conspiracy theories turn into conspiracy facts, mainstream media isn't standing up and, you know, broadcasting that.
We don't have a media. We haven't had a media for a very long time. I'm the media. Yeah. You guys are the media. Luca is the media. You know, we are the people have become the media. And so Luca is still, we are working on a national podcast show because we have to, you know, not only share this information, we have to continue to educate, and, you know, we have to have our voices heard, because as Latinos, we are naturally conservative.
Yep.
So, you know, it's easier for us to talk to our people that are still asleep under the Democratic apple that they've eaten. They say that we've drank the Kool-Aid. Well, they've eaten the rotten apple of the Democrats, because, you know, they just continue to lie and lie and lies. And all it takes is just sharing the facts and having that conversation and continue, you know, the education is so huge. And so, like with my mom, it took me a long time, but she finally woke up, you know, and that, and again, I know everybody who knows me, has known me for a long time. I have not shut up, and I will not shut up, and I will continue to fight, and I will continue to speak my mind, and I will continue to show up where I need to. And that's what Luke is about. All of our members, even you guys, fearless, bold, you know, getting on the front lines, and we're showing those in our community what that looks like, you know, to inspire them to come. Like one of our members, she's the sweetest, and she's in past Dallas. And she's very shy, you know, she doesn't speak. And she showed up to her very first school board meeting. And she's like, I was so nervous. But let me tell you, when she got on a roll and she spoke her heart and she let them know, you know, what these policies and these disgusting books in our children's school was about, it's like, now you can't stop her. Now she's doing all kinds of stuff. And now she showed up. She was very shy. You know, and it's just a matter of inviting those in our community to come with us and come stand with us.
I feel like what a lot of it has to do is with, you know, in that case, being in person and seeing somebody that timid and, you know, holding down her beliefs, right? Because at the end of the day, the hard fight that you know, what we're doing against the media is, you know, they can turn a good story bad, right?
Oh,
well, while Trump was president, you know, he was hanging out with Kim Jong-un. He was hanging out with Putin. And, you know, that's way better than the position that we're in now. Now we're going to war, right? And they demonized him when he was over there shaking hands with him or, you know. And now they're, you know, kind of championing all these wars that we're in right now. So you can see what's good and what's bad to the media. It doesn't matter. They'll just misconstrue everything.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. And, you know, we've always spoken about world peace. And, you know, Trump is the only one that brokered the peace in the Middle East, right? And now look at him. Now, yeah. You know, it's people are dying, innocent people are dying, and it's a mess. And then, of course, here we are. Well, let's send money over here. Let's send money over there. And, I mean, our government's broken. It's been broken. It's corrupt. And so I just saw like Nicole, sorry, I'm like, there's a lot of comments. You guys, we got a lot of people watching. This is awesome. Yeah. You know, like she says, you know, we have to, you know, we need folks like us in those seats. And she's absolutely right. We have to run and we have to push back. I mean, that's why I love this work. That's why I love Luca. You know, all of our family, you know, we are family. We're not just Americans. We are family. And we are, you know, uniting with everybody along the way, because it's the way it says, united, we're going to stand, and divided, we're going to fall. And that's what the Democrats were wonderful at, dividing us. They took an emotional issue and, you know, used that against us and to divide us, where we need to just stand on principle, stand on our Constitution, stand on our faith, stand on what we know is right. And so again, a lot of people don't know that, and we have the power, you guys. We do.
You know, you said something really interesting right now. So you talked about how they use the emotions. They get us emotional to make certain decisions. Yes. And get manipulated. But I'm going to tell you a conversation that I had at a meet and greet again for Jim Shoemaker. So, you know, if you want to get motivated and get people, you know, to Christian's point, when he was, you know, talking about what you said about, you know, someone being shy, but when you're in person and you start talking to other like-minded people, I started talking to a young lady, and she had worked in the school system, and it got so bad that she had to leave. But she was sharing a story where she saw some books, and the cover was very appealing and seemed like a very nice book, you know, for kids. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Michael Hall. And if anybody knows who that author is, he's gay, but he's an author. He writes children's books. So when you take something so innocent and you make it appealing to little kids, you know, with the cover and what the story might be, but then you actually start reading the story. This is something that got her very passionate after she figured out what they were doing and trying to take the innocence away from the kids. And talk about getting emotional and getting that fire and start becoming a part of a movement. Mm-hmm. They actually triggered that emotion, but it had the opposite effect that they usually want. Is, you know, this person became very passionate, and that's all they talk about. And that's all they really want to point out to other parents, grandparents, you know, just people in the community to look out for. So, you know, what I've known of a Michael Hall in the books that he's writing, if I didn't go out there and talk to someone, you know, I would say no. But, you know, if you go out there and you engage with other people, like-minded people, you know, that's exactly what you're going to find. You might find something that inspires you, you know, to get up and, you know, be part of the movement.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's where we are now. And so whenever I have people call me that want to join, you know, I have a long conversation with them. It's like, look, there is something that all of us are great at. There is something that we're passionate about. There is something that, you know, we're ready to get out there and fight. Like, some people are very understanding and they're passionate and they hate the voter fraud and they're fighting it tooth and nail. So that is what they do for Luca. And they, you know, were, you know, that's one thing that we really need to get under control. And we need to work with our county, you know, clerk's office. We need to work with our commissioners. We need to work and push back on Secretary of States, because they, you know, those are the ones that have everything to do with how our elections work. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in New Mexico, you know, they just, the people, you know, are just, they don't care. So they're just using our Democrat legislation to pass, you know, bills and say, well, now we're just going to vote by mail-in ballot only. Can you imagine? They don't care. The people's voices no longer matter.
Yeah, well, it gets even scarier than that, because who's that that guy that was actually having a conversation and said that people shouldn't vote anymore, that they basically know what the outcome would be?
Was it
Schaub?
Yeah,
so they're already kind of prepping us for that, is that there's not going to be a need for voting. And you know, once they start saying something like that, it's because they've already got an agenda and it's coming down the pipe.
Yep. And that's, so that is, again, that is what Luke is for. We need everybody on deck. We need everybody with wide eyes and open ears and, you know, and we need to find out where the issues are. You know, our state executive director out here in Texas, you know, he's 22 years old. He just got married. He has been fighting his school since like 15 years old. When we had our big gala in Frisco, we had our, we honored Congressman Ronnie Jackson and gave him a Patriots Award. You remember he was Trump's doctor and he saw, I mean, mm-hmm. he was also Obama's doctor. He was also yeah. Bush's doctor. So he was, you know, the physician for four presidents. And he said, what I saw, you know, as a physician for Trump, because he and Jane were getting ready to leave. And Trump asked him to stay. He said he had to run because he had never seen the swamp come out of all of the cracks and crevices of D.C. like he did with Trump. He was there for four presidents. So can yeah. you imagine for him what the reality looked like working with all these and like, oh, he goes, it was so disgusting. And I mean, and he's military. God bless him. You know, we were just with his wife last week in Amarillo. She sat with us at a table because Luca had an event out there. We were, Tony was a guest speaker. And he got a standing ovation out there for, you know, talking about his work and Luca's work. Because when people hear the effectiveness of when Luca shows up, they're like, wow. And the outcome. So, you know, I can't emphasize enough about how we need people to come and stand with us and join Luca, be a part of the movement, be a part of We the People, be a part of the shift and the change of the fight of what it looks like to make sure that going forward, we never, ever allow this government to become so powerful, to be so rogue, you know, and to be so tyrannical. Because the people are in power and in charge. You know, it's like Trump said in his inauguration, this isn't about a transition between one party to another. This is the transition from the government back to the people.
To the people. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Lucas is all about. You know, he inspired me. Tony's work inspired me. Tony's done community service work, like I said, here, stateside, all the way to national. And he's block walked. He has, you know, stood behind every great candidate, you know, and now Luca can, you know, we have a seat at the table and they say, hey, this is what Luca found out. This is what we just did. And we need your help. You know, we need to put something in place. And so now our representative is bringing a bill to the floor in a special session to make sure that some things are locked down and shut out. And, you know, so again, there's a lot. And the Democrats are just so sneaky. They're the agenda, you have George Soros. I mean, who knows who's all in charge with each other in the great plan to bring down the great nation of America. But yeah. We have to stand up. And so slowly but surely we are getting there. But like I said, you know, Daniel, you know, the urgency for me, because look at the big change with just such a small amount of people.
Yeah.
Imagine.
And that's what people need to focus on. Yeah. The mm-hmm. positive. We need to look at the positive. There's, you know, things can go bad really quick, but they can also be good really quick too. You touched a little bit on it, you know, with the Trump administration, with everything against them, there was still positive change. Now imagine if we started electing the correct local politicians around us, is the impact that we can have, and not just for a short term, but a long term.
Long term.
And, you know, that's going to influence a lot of people to stand up and be a part of it too. So I think it's a great thing that's happening right now. I tell these guys all the time is that I don't know if it gets a little bit annoying with, you know, being optimistic or trying to be as optimistic as I possibly can, but I don't know. I just hope it's a little bit, actually a lot of bit infectious, and you know, people get motivated and start seeing the positive too. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it does. I mean, we all go through it. Myself, Tony, you know, there's times where sometimes Tony and I have been on the phone for a couple of hours talking each other off the ledge. You know, it's trust me, because you do feel alone sometimes. You do feel that you can see that people are exhausted, but because we've gone so long not doing the work, and like Nicole said, I've reiterated again, it's hard work. It is. This is not easy to do, but if people like us, you know, you guys and you, Daniel, now that you joined, Nicole, Sergio, even Nino, I see you here. How's it going, brother? You know, Art, all of us, people here, be, you know, getting out there and fighting, and you know, just like sometimes you feel like you just want to grab them and just shake people, you know, like come on, you know, just come with, you know, you do, and you get frustrated. But we have to keep the positive. We have to keep showing. Because, like, you know, I keep thinking of President Trump, like what it must be for him and his family, you know, and how he just, it's like sometimes I feel like everything that's happening is like white noise behind me. And like I tell Tony, I just want to focus on our teams. I just want to focus on Luca. I just want to focus on what we're doing, you know, just be so unbothered by everything and just have our goals, our work, our agenda, and keep pushing forward, put our head down and just like a bull, just keep going. Because again, it's effective. So if we just drown out what they're emotionally, what they try to throw, BLM, stop fighting with them. They're just a distraction. You know, just focus on growing, you know, coming together, showing up and pushing back. Because they're a distraction. They're going to be in our way. We're going to waste time. You know, I mean, I still talk because we still have to educate. So again, there's a multitude of things that need to happen. And this is why we need to be a huge team. This is why we, the people, have to grow and come together and do this fight. Find what we're good at, find and just focus on that. And let's get
You
it
know,
done.
Christian and Daniel, we were talking about in a podcast with everything that's going with the protesters in the universities right now. You know, if you pay attention, a lot of the things that are happening right now, kind of you'll find a pattern. There's a lot of similarities with the protesters that are going on right now with the BLM protesters. You know, a lot of the
Now
other
it's the
protesters,
Palestinian protesters.
Jazz, Palestinian. Yep, there's a lot of similarities. Like, for example, they're being bused in. They're not from the area. There's a lot of people seeing on the campuses that they're not students. Kind of like when they were showing up to different cities, BLM was, and they weren't even from those communities, and they were just being bused in. You mentioned George Soros, so it's one of those things where are these people getting the funding? You know, you
Exactly.
see reports out there that, you know, there's these philanthropists, you know, kids that
It's
are
black
really
money.
wealthy and they're out there and they're leading the charge for these type of protests. And it's like, really, they're part of that community? Is, you know, we've got to identify what the manipulation is, what is it exactly that they're trying to do, because you're 100% right. It's just distractions. They're trying to throw us off our game.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to share a story with you guys and to your listeners. I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and I shared that my first Trump rally was on my birthday in Oklahoma during COVID, when when Antifa and BLM were really out there. You know, we watched what we watched in Portland, Oregon. And now this was Oklahoma. So when Trump had his rally, of course, they had the military there. They had SWAT. They had the police because it's not Portland. So, and because they were expecting, you know, Antifa and BLM. So right before the rally was going to start and we're walking through the convention center. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
There was about a group of about 20, I would say about 20 to 30 people. And I went live after this rally to share it, because a lot of people were like, oh my God, because of what they were watching on TV is not what we were experiencing in real life in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So there were about 20 or 30, and we clearly see these Antifa and BLM people coming in the streets. You guys, 20, 30 of them, there were three big production cameras. It was a production. It was a show. They were just walking up and down the street, screaming, and the cameras were like, you know, focusing in on them and doing, it was a production. It was propaganda.
And the theater kids
went over there, kids, and their SWAT was behind this linked fence. And then they were going up to the fence where the police and SWAT were, and they were shaking it, shaking the fence, screaming, cussing. And there was these big production cameras zooming in, getting below them. And it's like, what? We walked right in the middle with our Trump hats. They didn't care about us. We're in the middle of the crowd of these paid actors, these paid agitators. And, you know, why the production? Why the boom mics? Why the cameras? Why were they? Because I've done film when I lived out in New York, and I thought I was on a production scene. They weren't doing anything. They That's were just crazy. There to make noise and get filmed. And then when I watched it on the news, it looked like there was a crowd. And if I was like, that's not even what happened. Now,
you know,
I do believe like in Portland, Oregon and all of that, that stuff was, you know, real. But because Oakland wasn't paying, they were just there to make a scene, to, you know, to show that they were there to push back or whatever. But you guys, it was all propaganda. It was a joke.
Yeah, I've seen some posts where they're one of them was in a courthouse, and on the steps, you know, it seemed like there was like a lot of people, but it was really 8 to 10 people. Mm-hmm. And then, so they give you a close up, so it looks like, you know, everybody's crowded in there, but behind that person, there was another person taking a photo of that. And it was literally just to 8-10 people with no one else around them. Wow. So you're right. It's all production. And that's why I always go back to, you know, who is funding this? You got to ask yourself, you know, who's
Steven Spielberg
and the Democrats and, you know, all of these other people, they've got the money. And this is, and the, you know, let's think about China. Let's think about, you know, the other world leaders that want to be a part of, you know, the fall of America. And so, again, you know, we the people have the power. We can stand up to it, and we have to stop allowing all of that background noise, all of that distraction. Because I see people get riled up. It riles me up. I get pissed when I see them just, you know, trying to take down our American flag and put up the Palestinian one. I mean, the video I did about going to a car dealership went viral, and you know, all they had were Mexican flags on every car. There wasn't an American flag in sight, and this is Texas. Yeah. They had the Mexican flag in the front. I approached the lady and I asked her, why are you flying the Mexican flag? You are in America. You are here to prosper. You fled that country for a reason, and I'm very offended that you're flying the Mexican flag and that you are not flying the American flag and be proud. And this is the problem, especially when we have a wide open border. They're not assimilated. They don't respect our country. They don't respect our laws. They don't respect our constitution. They don't respect what this country was founded on, what the meaning behind it is. And so, you know, I called her out. She was very just like shocked that I was even asking her that question. And she said, you look Mexicana. I said, I am Mexicana. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my culture, but I'm an American. And right now my country is being disrespected and it's really angering me. And so I, you know, I don't want anything to do with this place, you know, respect this country. And I left.
Yeah. No, most of the people that fly other flags here wouldn't go fight for that country.
No, they're not, you know, and I'm fighting with a lot of people on my TikTok. I was like, what do you mean? You know, they say, well, Texas is Mexico. They, you know, America is Mexico. Yeah, I'm so tired of that. You know, what has Mexico done for me? Seriously, what have they done for us? What has Mexico done for me that I need to sit here and respect their country? You know, again, I'm very proud to be a Mexicana. I'm very proud, you know, of my culture, but you know, America is where is my country. It gives me my freedom where you and I can speak right now and push back and speak out against our government without fear that we could be jailed and shot and killed, you know, and things like that. But they're slowly stripping us of that. And so, you know, we have to continue on. I was just watching all the comments come through and, you know, they just make me so proud. You guys, even you guys, make me so proud. You know, keep this going. You know, I say it every time to you guys, to make sure that voices like yours are continuing to be heard and that you're educating. And again, Daniel, we are so, you know, so happy that you're part of LUCA, and we can't wait to see you get out there and work, because we know you're a fighter as well. So really excited to see what you're going to be doing out there in California.
Now, one thing that I personally like, I really like about LUCA, it's like you guys aren't trying to be an echo chamber. You guys are really just trying to reach everybody with the reality, right, of what's going on around them. And and I think that's what makes you guys so, how could I put it, respected. Because you guys are trying to reach everybody and not just the people that you know already are going to follow you. I think that's huge.
Thank you. And because that's what's important. Again, there are many of us that just didn't understand, you know, we just didn't understand why all this was happening, you know, and we didn't understand the importance of really, you know, getting out there and doing the work that we are now doing, and we're teaching others how to do. So, you know, even like Daniel said, it could take a long time, but let's pray and hope that LUCA's, you know, now getting to a place where we can move a lot faster, mobilize a lot quicker and stronger, so that we can get out there and continue to educate our Hispanic people that, you know, are still eating that Democratic rotten apple and believing that they're there to be the saviors. You never want the government to be your savior. You know, we are naturally entrepreneurs. We love to work, you know, faith, family, and freedom. We just want our freedom. Just, you know, we just want to be left alone, and we'll prosper on our own. But when, you know, we don't need the government to meddle in our lives. And I don't want to say it's just Latinos. There's a lot of Americans that feel that way, but because we are, you know, naturally just conservative people, you know, our government just needs to just work for us. And again, they have taken history out of schools. They have literally wiped away for this generation and the next one, especially, to know our history, to know how, you know, our country was founded. And you know, I say it and I don't know, but they used to deal with people, tyrannical politicians, a lot different in the 1800s than they do.
Yeah, like with guillotines. Yeah.
But you know, I'm just saying, I'm not advocating, I'm just saying that literally happened. Our forefathers didn't create the Second Amendment for hunting trips. They created the Second Amendment for times like this, you know, to ensure that the people stayed free from, you know, that's what they fled. And that's what America was founded on, you know, to be free so that the people are free. So, you know, it wasn't so that they could go hunting and have guns. It was to ensure that the government was back.
Yeah, we talk about being really transparent, you know, with that part of the Constitution, because if we just kind of follow the rules and not try to ruffle any feathers and just say, oh, it's for hunting or whatever, you know, it's not serving us anything. And the other thing, too, is that I'm first generation born here. So a lot of the people that came here for the American dream don't really know what made America great in the sense of the Constitution. They didn't know that there was a Constitution that protected our God-given rights. And that's what made America great. So it's part of the education that you're talking about is that we, in order to maintain that, we need to protect the Constitution. And that's part, again, that's part of the education. And if you go down the list, you know, it is faith-based. It's our God-given rights, you know? Yeah. So it always goes back. And that's one of the things that I love about Luca is that that's what it's based on. It's based on faith. And, you know, we've talked about all the local politicians that have been running and that we've been talking to. And it's no coincidence that they're all faith-based too. They talk about, you know, feeling that they have a calling from God to do this at this time, at now. And that's one of the things that I really like about it. I love about it. So, you know, as long as that we understand it.
What does our money say? It says, "In God we trust." Mm-hmm. It's printed on our money, you know? And so it doesn't get any more understanding than that. In God we trust. And that is, you know, that's our country. And it makes me happy. And I know Tony's watching this, you know, we both get very emotional because exactly what you're explaining about Luca is why we started this organization. It's for people like you, for you, Daniel, for you know, just for Americans that are just sick and tired of being sick and tired of what we've been watching for the last 8 years, 9 years. And we have to put God back in everything that we do, because since we have closed the door to God in our schools and everything else, well, that just opened it right up for the devil. And we are in such a spiritual battle right now that it is unreal. Like you can feel the evil. You can just see it with just everything that we've been watching in this last 9 years. I mean, it started in 2015, the moment that Trump said he was going to run. And it has just, we've learned a lot. I'm sure you guys can agree. We've seen a lot and we can detect a lot now. Our eyes are wide open, but it makes my heart so happy to hear you say that, because that is that's what matters the most, is that people like you guys and everybody else that's involved, you know, can see the work that God has put in front of us and that we've been calling by him to spread his love, to spread this work, to spread, you know, the greatness and everything that it is going to take in order to be able to turn this country around, to get our people back to, you know, just being happy. I mean, how many people are just so sad right now, you know, and stressed out?
Daniel and I talk about this all the time, is that, you know, God gave us free will. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And, you know, people have made their decisions on, you know, what they want to have faith in. Let's just put it that way. And people have strayed away. And people walk around, in my opinion, with a void. And they really don't know why they have that void. They're just, whether, you know, they acquire money, material things, whatever you can think of. They're just not happy. They're, you know, in my opinion, in our opinion, it's that void is that they're really looking for. And I like to believe that, you know, since people do have free will and they've been walking around with that void, you see a lot of posts out there where they found God, they found Jesus Christ, and now they feel a fulfillment. And they, you know, there's words that they can't even describe the love that they feel. And they found the thing that they were missing after such a long time. Right. And I think kind of like the culmination of what we're getting to is that God has shown us that, you know, what we've wanted. Now, what we wanted didn't serve us and we're still empty. And right. and we're getting to that point where we're looking for him. And a lot of people are finding them, and now they're getting that fulfillment. And I feel like that's happening more and more. And I see it with young people too. And and that should be encouragement for everybody. And I, again, I'm starting to go off on this optimism kick again, but you know, that's what I really feel, you know?
Well, and the works of the churches too. We have to get in the churches. We have to work with the churches, you know, where we're there, because I think the churches, many churches have lost their way as well. So we get, I mean, over here, we're always talking to the pastors. We're always, you know, trying to get meetings in there, and we've got to get in there and register as many people as we can. But the churches, many churches have taken a sidestep because they're more worried about the butts in the pews than really, really getting the word of God out there the right way. So that's another thing that we're doing is, you know, what we're planning is, getting groups out there to really work in the churches with the churches and the pastors and allowing us to bring our message and, you know, help people, you know, every Sunday or every time there's church. So that's something else that we're working on.
Daniel and I went to Denise's and Jim Shoemaker's headquarters grand opening, and I had a really good conversation. Again, going back to talking to like-minded people and stuff like that, and I was talking to someone, and she was probably about 15, 20 years older than I was, and she was, and this is the beauty of talking to people and going out and meeting people is that she was basically describing what I had gone through when, you know, you go through the school system and they try to pull God away from you. They try to pull the faith away from you. And when you have those conversations and you start realizing that you have so much in common and you're affected in the same way by the system that we live in. And that's why we started, you know, Latino Free Minds, the podcast, is because we saw the manipulation. We saw that it wasn't just us, it's other people. And if you guys just talk to other people and come together, unite, you're going to see that, you know, we have a lot more common than we don't. And, you know, one of the things that we preach here at the podcast is that we don't have to agree on everything 100%. But if you just get your butt out there and you become active, you're going to find that you have a lot more in common. Like I said, more than not. And if that doesn't serve as motivation, then I really don't know what, you know, is going to motivate people.
We're going to get there, amigos. We're going to get there. We, like I said, there's a lot of work to do, and I say it a lot, but we are making it happen. And, you know, we're not going to stop. And Tony and I, you know, we've got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. We've got a lot of stuff that we work on in the back end, and you guys will see. And I'm so proud of you guys. Really am.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
So just before we finish, I just wanted to play this video because I thought it was funny.
Okay.
So this is Clown World here. So we have, let's put this up. I'll make it bigger. I just thought this was so funny when I heard it. Did you see this already? New York. Here we go. Oops. I think it keeps getting in my way.
Oh, yeah. Off to the to play.
You guys hear that?
No.
Give me one second. Getting used to this, huh?
It's a pretty cool program.
I'll figure it out right now while we're talking. But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say in the video, it's Eric Adams, right? Mayor of New York. And he's talking about how, you know, they obviously have an influx of illegals. And he's like, well, you know, we have a lot of these people that are great swimmers.
Wow.
And we have a huge shortage of lifeguards.
Wow. I didn't see that, but I'm going to have to go find that clip. That's nice. That's it's a mess. Insightful. Yeah, it is a mess. So I cannot.
I want to see if I can get it to play.
I'm telling you, some of these politicians.
Can you guys hear it? No?
Mm-mm.
Man, I got it. It's very low. I had to put my volume all the way up, but it's very low.
Yeah, I can't hear it. I'll go find the clip, though.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And look at it, they're sitting there so serious.
I know.
It's talking so about that.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny because it's like, it's kind of like the Pelosi thing where she's like, who's going to pick our fruit or something like that?
Wow.
You know, excellent swimmers. I just.
They're a mess. Politicians are a mess.
Yeah. But no, I just wanted to kind of end on a lighter note, too.
That's funny. Well, thank you guys. Seriously. I'm just looking at the time. I can't believe we've been talking for an hour and a half. That time flew by. It was a big audience. I could see how many people are watching. And
a lot of viewers. Thank you everybody for tuning in.
Yes, a lot. So thank you. But thank you for bringing me back on and allowing me to, you know, share all the updates that are happening with Luca. You know, the work, the effectiveness, the importance, and you know, it means a lot to me. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right.
Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. And we'll catch you next week. Later.
Bye.
Peace be with you.